The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
Eyes are cold and restless, and his wounds have almost healed. And she'd give half a Texas just to change the way he feels. Well, she knows his love's in Tulsa, and she knows he's gonna go. Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood, it's that damned old road he goes. It's the roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white in his knuckles, the gold in the buckle. He'll win the next go round. It's boots and shaps, it's cowboy hats, it's spurs and latigo. It's the ropes and the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing a rodeo. Her best to hold him when his love comes to call, but his need for it controls him and her back's against the wall. And it's so long, girl, I'll see you when it's time for him to go. You know the woman wants her cowboy like he wants his rodeo. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood, it's a dust and mud, it's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white in the knuckles, the gold in the buckle, he'll win the next go round. It's boots and shaps, it's cowboy hats, it's spurs and latigo. It's the ropes and the rain and the joy and pain, and they call the thing a rodeo. It'll drive a cowboy crazy. It'll drive a man insane. And he'll sell off everything he owns just to pay to play her game. And a broken home and some broken bones is all he'll have to show. For all the years that he spent chasing this dream they call rodeo. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood, it's a dust and mud, it's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's the white in the knuckles, the gold in the buckle, he'll win the next go round. It's boots and shafts, it's cowboy hats, it's spurs and latigo. It's the ropes and the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing a rodeo. It's the bronze and the blood, it's the steers and the mud, and they call the thing rodeo. Wow. Thank you. so am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime, but it's July. I'm getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something, I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. This lunch break is gonna take all afternoon and half the night. Tomorrow morning I know there'll be hell to pay. Hey, but that's alright. I ain't had a day off now in over a year. My Jamaican vacation's gonna start right here. If the phone's for me, you can tell them I just sailed away. And something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. In a cab and be back to work before 2. At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do?
Funny you should ask, Alan. I'd say, pull me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. Something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care. I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
What time zone am I on? What country am I in?
It doesn't matter, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's always on 5 in Margaritaville, come to think of it.
Yeah, I heard that.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've seen your boat there.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right, well, that's good.
Stumble my way back.
Okay, well, we just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right, well, it's 5 o'clock. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.
My spare key don't go to your front door, and I don't keep that old Jeep in your driveway anymore. And my toothbrush ain't on your bathroom sink. Haven't been to your side of town in weeks. You're the reason this thing broke, so you should already know. It ain't your place to walk up, say hey. Anyway, 'cause don't party, it ain't your place to ask my friends when you see them out. If I'm seeing somebody, you don't get to call me up, cause you're drunk. 2 a.m. say you miss us. Nah, you don't get to care when I'm waking up these days. It ain't your place. It ain't your place.
Keeping it country in the heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again, I'm a brand new man. Well, the whole town's talking about the line I'm walking that leads right to your door. They say a country mile wide, I'd burn those beer joints down. That's all changed now. You turned my life around. Oh, I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again, I'm a friend. How no one could tie me down. Then I met you. Now my heart beats true. Baby, you and me together feels more like forever than anything I've ever known. We're right on track. I ain't looking back. Flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. Oh, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. Yeah, I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your church and the flame in your eyes. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. Yeah, I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
It's being called a new era of human learning. I'm talking about the fast-growing impact of artificial intelligence on education. It's already changing traditional notions of creativity in the classroom.
A thesaurus, a dictionary, abacus, lots of these tools that increased the capacity for human thinking. AI is a big one, and so the jobs that students are going to do are going to change.
Then, when parents strive to be perfect, it creates pressure that can have unhealthy outcomes. We'll have the story.
Parents are burned out, and there are a lot of things and strategies that we know can help burnout, but not a lot of people are aware of those.
Those two interviews and more are ahead on this week's show. Don't go away. InfoTrack comes your way right after this.
Macy's Friends and Family is going on right now, and it's the perfect time to save on Father's Day gifts. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off designers he loves, like Hugo, Lacoste, and more. And 15% off skincare, fragrance, and grooming, too. Plus, shop Father's Day specials for even more great deals. Give love today at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Family Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give.
It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data, and you get to choose who joins your family plan starting as low as $25 a line.
Does it have to be family?
It can be family or people you like.
Get more lines and more savings. Switch to Straight Talk for family plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from June 7th through the 10th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
What do you do about car trouble? Call Dad? Why not give him a break this Father's Day and visit AutoZone instead? If it's a battery problem, AutoZone has free battery testing and charging, and battery options as low as $89.99. And right now, you can save at the AutoZone Father's Day sale through June 16th. Give Dad a break and maybe get him something too at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Artificial intelligence is impacting us in many areas, including education. And our next guest says educators need to understand AI. He is Jose Antonio Bowen, co-author of Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning. Starting out here, there are probably traditionalists who think, well, there's nothing wrong with the classroom. Why do you feel that it's important for today's educators to understand the basics of AI?
First of all, AI is changing work. We're seeing this already. It's going to do some tedious tasks, but it's also going to change human thinking. Think about calculators or dictionaries. Calculators didn't eliminate the need for math, but they did change the way we needed to teach math because, yes, you still have to have number sense. You need to know if you've made a mistake of too many zeros. But an accountant now uses a calculator to do their work in a different way. So we've had lots of these tools, a thesaurus, a dictionary, abacus, calculator, lots of these tools that increased the capacity for human thinking. And AI is a big one, and it's coming at us. And so the jobs that students are going to do are going to change.
In what ways can AI enhance or perhaps challenge traditional notions of creativity in the classroom?
Let me say right up front that I'm not for or against AI. It exists and it can be used for good or for bad purposes. So AI is going to change our world. And one of the ways is it's going to make us all more creative, because creativity starts with quantity, not quality, right? If you want better ideas, you need more ideas. And so what often happens is people will say, oh, I've got 2 ideas, I've got 3, let's vary those. But an AI can give you 50 or 100. But the other thing that AI does for creativity, in addition to quantity, is that it doesn't think like a human being. It's like working with an alien. So on the one hand, this is a problem. AI hallucinates, right? It can make things up. It can put 2 things together that don't belong together. But in some ways, that's what creativity is. It's not inhibited like a human being is. When I'm in a room full of people and someone says, hey, do you have any ideas? And they say, how about some out-of-the-box ideas? Well, AI is the most out-of-the-box because it will say things that I would never say. It hallucinates. It does new things, which is sort of remarkable. What do you call a person who hallucinates? An artist, right? Somebody who makes up stuff for the first time. So AI is going to make up stuff. And sometimes that's a problem and it's bad. Like if I'm trying to find out a scientific truth or discover who wrote this. But if I'm looking for new ways to make products better or for new ideas for my essay, then AI is a great tool.
Our guest is Jose Antonio Bowen, and he's co-author of Teaching with AI, a practical guide to a new era of human learning. Jose, a major concern with AI, perhaps, is cheating. How can educators detect and manage that?
The simple answer is that AI detection is not going to be a viable strategy long term. There are some detectors that work some of the time. The best ones are better than humans, but they're not perfect. They still make mistakes. And you're able to beat them. Either you could pay for a humanizer, it's called, or you can ask better prompts. You can ask the AI to slow down and think more carefully, or to use sentences of different lengths, or to write more in an academic style, or write less in an academic style. The more that you prompt, and the more specificity and context you give, the better AI answer you get, but also the harder it is to detect. The problem we really have are false positives. Even if it's only 1 in 20, AI detectors don't accuse students of cheating. They just give you a probability. So teachers are going to have to understand, well, I got this high probability, but what does it really mean? And if a student has more money, he or she can afford a detector beater, a humanizer, which will beat my detector. So one strategy is to go back to Blue Books and proctoring and say, oh, we're going to ban this. But, you know, we don't ban spell checkers. And spell checkers, by the way, don't make me a better speller. They don't improve my education, but they do improve the output. And so eventually we said, okay, you can use a spell checker because now everybody's spelling is better. But the truth is we probably all spell worse than when we had to know how to spell words or use a dictionary. So the other way to think about cheating is to recognize that what we call cheating, business calls progress. That these tools, like a spell checker, made work easier, better, and faster. They improve the final product. So I think that's going to happen with AI. I think it's already happening. The other strategy is, how can I create assignments that actually use AI to have students do things that they couldn't do on their own? But with AI, they can do, so there's no point in cheating because there is no cheating. You're just producing different and better work.
Could AI potentially replace teachers, or do you see it as just a tool to enhance their capabilities?
With most jobs, the jobs are not going to go away, but they are going to change. Every job is made up of tasks, and so there are tasks that AI can do better and faster. And so the question is, which are the places where we need human beings and which are the places where we could have AI do things? So AI, for example, can do a schedule or a syllabus. It can do grading and feedback. And in many ways, it's more consistent than a teacher because a human being, I don't feel good after lunch. And so I grade a little harder. And on Tuesday, I was upset. So I grade. So we're a little inconsistent. The AI does have a bias, but we can manage for that. AI feedback is also instant. I don't have to wait a week until I've read all the papers. So a student might be able to say, I want you to act like a tutor of writing and check my paper against the teacher's assignment and tell me what else I could do to make it better. How could I make this more of an A paper?
As we wrap this up, what advice would you give to educators who are just beginning to explore the possibilities of AI in teaching?
Well, the first thing I would do is to get some hands-on experience. They're different tools. They work for different jobs. So don't just try the free ChatGPT. That's using a dial-up modem. Try Claude. We had the new 4 Omni. We have Gemini from Google. There are a range of different tools. And then try making different prompts. Ask it to do something, but don't just accept that answer. Try to make the answer better. And AI doesn't work like other technologies. It responds to things like, how about if I give you Taylor Swift tickets? Will that make your answer better? And the answer is yes, sometimes. And so it's more like a naive intern. And AI is not a human, it's not sentient. But when you treat it like a human, you get better results. So teachers first need to figure out, how do I get better results? The second thing I'd say is that AI is going to redefine average. You need to know what an AI can produce with your prompts. If I say, write me a 300-word essay on Hamlet, ask an AI to do that and then read it. If you don't think it's very good, that's okay. But if you'd give it a C, you can no longer give a student a C for the same work because that work has now been devalued. No employer is going to hire your students who only do AI-level work. This is an opportunity to raise standards. Students need to be experts. They need to be better at something than AI, because if they're only as good at AI, if they're only average at a range of skills, they won't be employable. So what teachers need to do is to figure out where is that new bar, where is the new average, and then raise the bar.
The book is Teaching with AI, A Practical Guide to a New Era of Human Learning. Jose Antonio Bowen, PhD, is the author. Jose, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Next, is it possible to be a perfect parent? That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Free is key during Craftsman Days at Lowe's. Right now, get one free Select V20 tool when you buy a Select Battery 2-pack. Plus, get your choice of a V20 drill or impact driver kit for $69. Don't miss your chance to save on the high-quality, high-performance tools you need during Craftsman Days. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 6/19. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Macy's Friends and Family is going on right now, and it's the perfect time to save on Father's Day gifts. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off designers he loves, like Hugo, Lacoste, and more. And 15% off skincare, fragrance, and grooming, too. Plus, shop Father's Day specials for even more great deals. Give love today at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included with the activation of a Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah. So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Requires in-store activation. Device offer ends 6/9/24. Taxes and fees apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from June 7th through the 10th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
When parents try to be perfect at raising their children, perhaps using social media as a yardstick, the results are often anything but perfect. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Kate Golick is an associate clinical professor and director of undergraduate health and wellness academic programming at The Ohio State University College of Nursing. Professor Golick, you recently led a study that examined the pressure on parents to be perfect and how that may affect mental health concerns for their children. This was actually an update of a previous study. What were you looking for in this particular study that was new or different?
In this study, we really focused on predictors of parental burnout. And in looking again at these predictors of parental burnout, we really found that the same findings from the past is that parents are burned out. And there are a lot of things and strategies that we know can help burnout, but not a lot of people are aware of those. So in this study specifically, we looked at what are the expectations on parents? We know that there is a lot of pressure coming in from multiple angles on parents, whether that's social media, whether that's judgment from other parents, whether that's the internal expectations. And we really wanted to kind of focus on some of those things and how they related to burnout with this study.
What percentage of parents in your study felt burned out?
57% reported, and this was a self-reported burnout. We also used a scale that we have developed called the Working Parent Burnout Scale, where we could also gauge their level of burnout. So specifically, you know, this is down from what we saw during the pandemic. So I really think even though the burnout rates are very, very high, people have moved kind of out of that survival mode that we all felt during the pandemic. The burnout is looking a little bit different now than it did with our past study.
You mentioned social media. Tell us more about what role that plays.
parents are constantly getting pictures of other people that they know and seeing all the wonderful things that they're doing. And nobody's posting the pictures of, you know, their toddlers having meltdowns or their teenagers just throwing their book bags on the ground. You know, we're not seeing those little things that, you know, happen in families, that chaos at times, that discomfort that, you know, can be felt within that family unit. And people don't show that. And so everybody really just walks around thinking maybe it's only me. And the great example of this is the clean house. Like, nobody is going to post a picture of their house when it's a mess. But I guarantee you, if you have little kids, your house is a mess a good portion of the time, right? Just because they're out and they're playing and they're doing things. So it's kind of what we all prioritize. But again, that's never really shown anywhere. And so it makes parents feel lonely. It makes parents feel isolated. It makes parents feel like they have to attain these high levels of achievement that is really unattainable.
What are the most alarming impacts of parental burnout on children's mental health?
We know that parents' mental health is really directly related to their child's mental health. So if a child has a mental health disorder, we know that's also correlated and very associated with parent burnout. So what is the chicken or the egg? You know, you can't really toy that out with something like this research, but we know that they are associated. And the other thing that we know is associated with having high rates of burnout is that there's a greater likelihood for parents to insult, criticize, maltreat their children. So again, what is the chicken or the egg? We're not completely sure. We just know that there is a strong association there.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Professor Kate Golic from The Ohio State University College of Nursing, and we're talking about a recent study she conducted that examined parental burnout and how it affects the mental health of their children. You touched on this a moment ago, but you developed a 10-point survey called the Working Parent Burnout Scale. Can you give us an idea of the questions on that survey and just maybe what it might reveal to a parent about themselves?
Yeah, we have this available. It's in the public domain. It's free. People can use it. One of the biggest things that we know is that if parents and healthcare providers can help to identify burnout, there are things that we can do to kind of prevent this trajectory of going into severe burnout. So that's why the identification piece is so, so important. But things on the survey are things like, I wake up exhausted at the thought of another day with my children. Or, you know, I get easily irritated with my children. You know, parenting my child is stressful. And then they rate it, not at all the way up to very much so. And then based on their levels, they can calculate out how high or how low their score is, and then correlate that to whether they're having no burnout, mild burnout, moderate burnout, or severe burnout.
Let's say a parent finds that they are burned out after taking this survey. What sorts of solutions do you recommend that parents can use to combat burnout?
There's a lot of different things that we know can help burnout. One of the biggest things that can help, and this is going to be very individualized with every parent, but really looking at where are your stressors and where are your resources. And what you want to do is try to decrease your stressors and increase your resources. So let me give you an example of this. Let's say that you're just completely stressed out about constantly having to shuffle your kids around to extracurricular activities. So this is a constant, it's every day, you know, you just feel like you're in the car so much. So that's a stressor. But you can identify the resource of maybe you could get into a carpool where you're only driving that child maybe once a week. And so this is going to look a little different for each parent. But we know if we can decrease those stressors, increase those resources, we can help burnout go down. And then, you know, looking too at your expectations for yourself and for your children and really seeking to kind of readjust them. So again, this is going to look very different for each person, but make sure your expectations for, one, your children are developmentally appropriate, they're age appropriate. You know, the problem is when we set our expectations too high, both the children and then subsequently parents can also feel, you know, anxious, overwhelmed, burned out, frustrated, that causes all those feelings. And what happens is then that results in decreased self-esteem, increased stress, intense fear of failure. So we need to really look at that balance. And if we can decrease our expectations a little or readjust them to make them more age appropriate, developmentally appropriate, however that looks. And then if we can increase kind of our support network, our connections with other people, you know, those are the types of things that help burnout go down. I'm not saying that you should, you know, lower your expectations too much. You know, it has to be a fine balance. When expectations are too low, you know, that can limit a child's ability to grow and develop those types of things. But really, I think a lot of times parents are setting expectations that are so high that children can't attain them. And so it just causes this frustration, not only from the child, but also the parent. And these types of things not only harm the relationship between the parent and the child, but they also cause burnout in parents.
Are there any other highlights in the study that we haven't touched on yet?
Well, one of the biggest things that we want to make sure is sent out to parents is this is not meant to be a shaming type of study. Really, we understand, and you know, I'm living it. I have four children under the age of 12. It's not meant to be shaming. What it was really meant to do was just to help parents realize, one, you know, they're not alone in these feelings of this culture of achievement, and that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to, you know, connect with other parents. It's okay to show that we're not perfect all the time.
Professor Kate Golic from The Ohio State University College of Nursing, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Free is key during Craftsman Days at Lowe's. Right now, get one free select V20 tool when you buy a select battery 2-pack. Plus, get your choice of a V20 drill or impact driver kit for $69. Don't miss your chance to save on the high-quality, high-performance tools you need during Craftsman Days. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 6/19. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains from June 7th through the 10th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you think using seed oils is healthy, think again. A medical expert says these oils can damage the cells of the body, causing a number of harmful effects. InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the details. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us is Dr. Kate Shanahan, who's now out with the book Dark Calories. She's a board-certified family physician with over 20 years of clinical experience, and she takes aim at 8 vegetable oils that she says we must stop eating. Dr. Shanahan, you warn us about what you call the hateful 8 seed oils to avoid, which are corn, canola, cottonseed, soy, sunflower, safflower, grapeseed, and rice bran oils. Briefly, what bad things do these do to us?
These oils cause a chemical state in our bodies that is incompatible with health. The name of that chemical state is oxidative stress. And that's something that doctors don't really learn much about. But all of these 8 vegetable oils promote oxidative stress in our cells. And when our cells are subjected to oxidative stress, they don't function right. And in fact, it turns out that if you want to know what makes us sick and kills us, you have to follow the free radical. And free radicals cause oxidative stress. This is the ultimate form of poison because it is the reason that we get sick and die. And it's the reason that I say that this collection of 8 oils are the worst ingredient in the food supply and the first and foremost thing we need to get out of our diet in order to be healthy.
So how are these vegetable oils different from, say, the olive oils or avocado or coconut oils?
They're different in 2 key ways. Because of their chemistry, the bad oils have to be manufactured with high heat pressure and a lot of solvents. so that when you get the oil from them, it is inedible. Now, we compare this to olive oil and like coconut oil and peanut oil, which have grades. You can just squeeze olive oil, and the extra virgin olive oil is the best quality oil that you can get, you know, olive oil wise, and it's edible. You don't have to do any processing or refining. It doesn't contain toxins. But because of their chemistry and the way they're processed, the soy oil and the canola oil and the other members of the Hateful Eight, they're crude oil. There is no virgin soy oil that's produced on scale. And that crude oil contains toxins. It contains waxes and gums, and it has to be extensively processed. All of the good stuff just about is removed during that processing. So unlike olive oil, where you've got all kinds of phytonutrients and vitamins, and peanut oil, you've got some vitamin E, these oils have almost no nutrition. And because of their chemistry and the extensive harsh refining chemicals, they contain toxins when they leave the factory in significant amounts, like 1 to 5% of toxin in the bottle.
You've said that French fries from restaurants, which typically are cooked in vegetable oils, in a 5-ounce serving, that equates to the toxicity of smoking 20 to 25 cigarettes. So overall, what kinds of damage can these oils cause to our organs?
The most common disease that we know of is obesity. They make us gain weight because that oxidative stress damages the part of our brain that regulates appetite. And it makes us always hungry so that we feel like we need to eat just a few hours after we've eaten and while we still have thousands of calories on board in our body fat.
And how about aging faster?
Yes, oxidative stress ages our brain cells. It brings about dementia, it brings about Parkinson's. Researchers have found that every neurodegenerative disease and even psychiatric diseases, every disease of the brain is linked to oxidative stress. And vegetable oils are oxidative stress in a bottle.
Doctor, is it though realistic to expect Americans to avoid vegetable oils, which are so prevalent in many of the foods we ourselves cook and in processed foods we eat?
It's not easy. I'm not going to say it's easy, but I also don't want to say that it's not possible, because thousands of people have told me that they've done it. And since I've been advising folks to avoid these oils, the keto movement has picked up that banner, and even vegans avoid them.
Dr. Kate Shanahan, author of the book Dark Calories, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Gina.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
That wraps up another edition of InfoTrack. Thanks to this week's contributors, Roy Mackey and Gina Tedesco. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
It's a devil's playground. I wonder if they knew they were wasting their time. kiss me, all the pretty girls said. Said I'm getting out of Dodge. All the big dreams said I'm selling all I got. All the high rollers busy placing their bets. Me, I'm headed south cause all the pretty girls say I'm home for the summer. Shoot out the lights. Don't blow my cover or I'm free tonight. I'm coming over. Call all your friends. Somebody hold me. All the pretty girls say all of the whiskey went to my head. Shut up and kiss me. All the pretty girls say.
You know. turned 80. He was sitting out back in a rocker. He said, "What you been up to lately?" I told him, "Chasing a dollar." And in between sips of coffee, he poured this wisdom out. Said, "If you want my 2 cents on making a dollar count, buy dirt, find the one you can't live without. Get a ring, let your knee hit the ground. Do what you love, but call it work. And throw a little money in the plate at church. Send your prayers up and your roots down deep. Add a few limbs to your family tree. And watch their pencil marks in the grass in the yard all grow up. Cause the truth about it is, it all goes by real quick. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy dirt.
Caught on that ladder, let me tell you what it's all about. Find you a few things that matter that you can put a fence around." And then he laid it out. Buy dirt, find the one you can't live without. Get a ring, let your knee hit the ground. Do what you love, but call it work. And throw a little money in the plate at church. Send your prayers up and your roots down deep. And add a few limbs to your family tree. And watch their pencil marks in the grass in the yard all grow up. Cause the truth about it is, it all goes by real quick. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy dirt.
You can buy dirt.
Cause he ain't making any more of it.
So buy dirt,
find the one you can't live without.
Get a ring, let your knee hit the ground.
Do what you love, but call it work. And throw a little money in the plate at church. Send your prayers up and your roots down deep. Add a few limbs to your family tree. Watch their pencil marks in the grass in the yard all grow up. Cause the truth about it is, it all goes by real quick. You can't buy happiness, but you can buy
smart, but you've got being right down to an art. You think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall. You're regular, original, know-it-all. Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much. So you got the brain. Don't impress me much. Yeah. I never knew a guy who carried a mirror in his pocket and a comb up his sleeve just in case. And all that extra old gel in your hair, I'd lock it, cause heaven forbid it should fall out of place. Okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. So you got the looks, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me.